Again, thank you all for coming to listen to the gospel this evening. We're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bennett and I quite often talk what we're going to be working on, but we usually don't ask, and we didn't ask tonight what each other was speaking on, but I am going to pick up on a very similar theme. Bennett has really introduced quite well sin. And there's two aspects of sin. Bennett and Ian, they're both gun people. I'm not. And I remember quite a few years ago, we were working on the house and we had a skunk problem. And I had borrowed a rifle from my uncle because I was going to take the skunk out. And I was working on the deck one day. The skunk stuck his head out and he got away before I could get him. And I thought I'll hunt him down. And I just didn't see him. So I set a can up. And to my embarrassment, I couldn't even hit the can, so I couldn't have got the skunk. A few years later, Bennett got interested in a gun. We got a pellet gun. We set up a target. And as we went to shoot at the target, the gun had to be set. But we realized we were missing the target. And that is one of the aspects of sin. Somewhere around that time, might have happened that day. I don't know if it was Bennett. I don't know if it was me. I don't know if it was my nephew, Dustin. But somebody with that pellet gun put a little tiny hole in the glass of my window in the shop. Somebody, I was the one that was missing the mark. That is one aspect of sin. But somebody had violated one of the principles of shooting a gun. It is, you don't shoot towards a building, and it had went through. So there's two aspects of gun. I'm still not a great marksman, although last year, Bennett and Ian were out shooting, and I thought, let me try it. And I was hitting some of the things they were doing. I was a little bit proud of myself. But the idea of sin is, as Bennett has pointed out, is a violation. Just like shooting a hole in a window, it was a violation of... Not to pick on Bennett, but one Sunday afternoon, Bennett was just young. And I had warned Bennett, he was kicking a soccer ball up against a building door. And I said, Bennett, you shouldn't be kicking it there. You're going to hit the window. No, I'm not going to hit the window. One Sunday afternoon, Bennett's dad was laying on the kitchen floor. And Bennett comes in, Mom! I said, she's upstairs. Mom! I said, what do you want? Mom's upstairs. Where's Mom? I said, she's upstairs. What did you do? Well, yeah, there was a window that was out. And Bennett had violated one of the laws of the Daryl and Wendy Rayner household. Why do I say that? Because we look at some of the things that happen and we say, yeah, we have disobeyed. In reality, Bennett has already read it. He's explained it, that every one of us, whether we like it or not, Bennett did not want to admit that day, at least to his father. He figured that his mother might be a little more lenient on him. But he had to face something that he didn't want to face. There was some consequences. It wasn't very major. But for you and I, it is not breaking out a window. What we have done when we commit sin, whether it is an act against God or whether it's just coming short, whether it is me not attaining God's standards, whether you like it, whether I like it or not, every one of us, we have to hang our head and say, guilty. And so our sin is, often it's against other people, but really sin primarily is against God. That is why sin is so important. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 20, the last six words of verse 20. And Paul the Apostle, he writes, "Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I want to start off by looking at that expression, be reconciled to God. You need to be made right with God. That's what Paul is saying. You, me, we need to be made right with God. In our 30 years of marriage, I suppose there's times when Wendy has when I've transgressed against Wendy, whichever way you look at it, and maybe there is something that has come up between us and doesn't come to blows or anything, but maybe there's something in between us. And you know what I've had to do? I've had to be reconciled, or we have had to be reconciled, whatever that disagreement was. It had to be dealt with in order for us to carry on. And that is important in a marriage. Two need to get along. When it comes to you and myself against God, you know what the Old Testament says? Our sins have made a separation. So our sins are very serious. And Paul is writing, he's writing to Christians, but I want to apply it tonight in the gospel. He is saying, you need to be reconciled. You need to be made right with God. And so you see, that is a major problem. In fact, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, there was four men and they were talking. And one man says to Job, you can find it in the Old Testament, Job chapter, I think it's 25, verse number 4. They are talking and he says, how can a man be made right with God? How can a man on earth make things right with the holy God who is in heaven? And Elihu was right. That is a major, major problem. It is one thing for a husband and wife to be reconciled, to get things fixed up. Or maybe it's a father and a son. Maybe it's two friends and something comes between us and whatever it is. Maybe you have to say, I'm sorry, or maybe you have to take them out for an ice cream. Sometimes that'll work. But whatever it is, something, you need to be reconciled. You need to be made right. But how can I be made right with God? You see, sin is so serious. Sin is very, very serious. In Ezekiel in the Old Testament, it says, the soul, the person who sins, is guilty of death. And so we do things and we think, oh, well, nobody's going to find out. And we forget that God in heaven is watching. We get all occupied with who on earth is going to see. Nobody sees. And yet when we do wrong or when we hold back, we forget that God, who is holy, God who has made everything you see, when we violate God's laws, when we sin, we are sinning against God. And God has a record. God has a record of our sin. And our sin is growing as a mountain, as a great barrier. And Paul says, you need to be made right with God. And so how can that happen? Well, Paul writes, he says, be reconciled with God because God has made Jesus to be sin for us. So what does that mean? If you go back to the Old Testament, to the first book in the Bible, you'll see where sin entered into the world. And sin, when it first came in, was not some gross, evil, immoral sin. In fact, the first act of sin was simply disobeying. You know, I can remember when we were growing up, mom and dad said not to, but they'll never know. And we just disobey. I think I said it before, but Jade was at our place a few months ago, and there was a little glass bottle that caught her eye, and she was just learning to walk. And she liked it, and she went over, and she started to touch her and said, "No, don't touch." And she looked me right in the eye, looked at the glass jar again, and I said, "Jade, don't touch." And she pulled it, and she looks at me again, and I said, "Jade, don't touch." And I give her a little tap, first slap that Grant ever gave her. It wasn't really all that serious, but she didn't think it was serious. But when she pulled her hand back, she started rubbing her hand. Sin is serious. And one act of disobedience in Genesis. You know how serious it was? In that instant, Adam and Eve became sinners. They were driven out from the garden. But even more than that, every person descendant from Adam and Eve were born sinners with the nature of sinning. We look at dogs and we expect them to bark because they are dogs. You and I, just like a dog and his nature is to bark. We're driving to Dean's driveway and his dog, every time the youngest one, he just barks his head off foolishly, but it'd be more alarming if he started meowing. His nature is to bark. You and I, our nature, because of how we are born, just because Dean's dog is a dog, he's going to bark. And you and I, we sin because there is that nature that is right within us. And even if you go back before you can remember, Jade is learning to talk, but if I ask Jade, "Do you remember when you touched that baby?" She probably doesn't even remember. You know what? You and I are guilty of sins that we don't even remember. But God does. And it almost seems like an impossible statement. Little wonder Elihu said, "How can a man be right with God?" But you know what God did when Adam and Eve sinned? God knew the seriousness of it. Adam and Eve didn't even realize the seriousness of it. They thought they could make fig leaves and then they thought they could hide from God. God knew how serious sin was and he made a little picture of something that was going to happen years later. But God, in order to deal with Adam and Eve's sin, you know what happened? There was an animal, or likely two animals, and from those animals, Adam and Eve were given coats of skin. You know how they could be covered? When an innocent victim took their place. Adam and Eve probably didn't even realize. Ezekiel never hadn't penned the words, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But when Adam and Eve sinned, the process of death started physically. And spiritually, there was a separation between them and God. What God did in the early chapters of Genesis was just a little picture. God was just displaying what he was going to do centuries later. And Paul says, he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin, or the sin offering. He has made him to be the one who would be offered for your sin. Bennett has read the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, Paul says here, he has made him to be sin for us. You know how serious sin is? Sin is so serious that you and I could never do anything to take away our sin. We could never suffer enough to take away our sin. The only way that your sin and my sin could be dealt with is that the Lord Jesus Christ would take our place. Why? What would make the Lord Jesus to be worthy? We might just look here tonight. Why couldn't Kevin die for my sin? Kevin is a great fella. He's been friends now for years. But you know what? Kevin won't mind me saying this, but Kevin is a sinner. Kevin is responsible for his own sin. And Dean, he hasn't committed as much sin as me, but he's still a sinner. He couldn't take my place. You know, if I was to go to everyone, you know what we would have to admit? Yes, I am a sinner. And every person born in this world, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, has been born a sinner. And we cannot take the place of another. And so that is why God has sent his Son. Timmy, you spoke at the villa this afternoon, this evening. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, in John 3:16, in the center of that verse is the Lord Jesus, Son. Do you realize that in the verse that we have read, Son is in the middle. The Lord Jesus is in the middle. I just noticed it today. Who knew no sin? Not one person in the world could claim that except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has ever been in this world who has not sinned. Who knew no sin? And so how can a person be made right with God? It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what this verse says in the end? It says that you and I, through him, God has made his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be sin, to be the payment for our sin, because he was innocent. And it ends off that we might be made the righteousness of God in him or through him. How can I be reconciled to God? It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. How can you be reconciled to God? How can that barrier of sin be taken away? Only because God has taken his Son. God has given his Son, the only one who is innocent, the only human truly innocent, and he has made him to be sin. He laid on him our sin, what our sin deserved. And you know what God says? The person who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who accepts him, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to the person who believes him. The really two mathematical or accounting terms, be reconciled. And I've said before, I don't like doing book work. I don't like reconciling, making this statement line up with this expense, line up with this payment. But you know what God was doing? He was taking our account of sin. How is this ever going to be dealt with? He's going to take the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to the debt of my sin, you know what happens? Reconciliation is made. And I am made right and just. Not on my terms, not because of what I have done, but because of what he has done. Back in the 1800s, in Russia, the story is told of Tsar Nicholas, and a friend of his son was in the army, and because he was an acquaintance, I suppose things haven't changed much. Sometimes it's more who you know than what you know. This son was made paymaster, and he started to dabble with funds that weren't his and gambling and the likes. And then one day there was word given that the king's, I don't know what it was, but we would call accountant, was coming to check out the books, and this young man realizes he is in trouble. And he sits down one night and he starts to add up. And when he realizes the full extent of his debt and the few coins he has in his pocket, and it's all wrote out, and he realizes, I can't pay. And he decided that he was going to take his life. He had wrote down a great debt. Who can pay? Just a few coins, a huge amount. Revolver beside him. And he falls asleep. Well, the Caesar, however you say that, himself, Nicholas, comes in. Sees the light on, goes to the desk, looks at, sees the young man sleeping, sees the numbers, reads the words. And at first, Nicholas is angry. And he's about to wake him up and charge him. And then he stops, picks up the pen, or whatever it was, and he writes down one word, and he walks out. That young man later on wakes up. He looks at his bill. He looks at his note. Who can pay so great a debt? The revolver is there. And then he sees one word. A great debt. Who can pay? Nicholas. And in that instance, that young man realizes he has been found out. Nicholas himself knows. But he understood Nicholas is willing to forgive. Nicholas will pay, and the money came. And that debt was paid. That is just a little picture of what God has done when he gave his son. Be reconciled to God. Be made right with God. How can that ever work? Because God has sent his son. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He was made sin for us. He was the one who paid the penalty. Just like Nicholas paid the money that was really due to himself. When it came to sin against God, how did God arrange so that you and I could be made right? By sending his only son. God has made Jesus to be sin, the payment for sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that Daryl, that others may be made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin could be taken away tonight. I hope that in this gospel meeting tonight, that we've been simple enough to realize that your sin is not against your neighbor, really. It is. But really and primarily, it is against a holy God in heaven. But tonight, there is provision that your sins could be forgiven. What is required has been paid. And God is just wanting you to reach out and accept, yes, I will place my trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful he came. You know, that happened to me. I don't know if that's the proper way to say it. I realized in 1988, August the 19th, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he suffered on the cross, that was what was necessary to take away my sin. And tonight, this salvation could be yours. You could be made right with God tonight, right now. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary, he died to take away sin. Christ died for our sin. When we're yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he came into this world, and it is a tremendous act of mercy and grace that was carried out when the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he did not deserve to die. He had never sinned. And in fact, he'd be the only one that would ever deserve to live, and yet he gave himself as a ransom for sin. So we would pray that tonight that someone would realize the seriousness of their sin, but that they might realize that their sin can be dealt with, and that their sin could be forgiven even tonight. And so we would pray for this. Bless the gospel as it goes forth in other places. We would pray for salvation of souls. And now as we sing another hymn and then we leave, we would pray for safety as we travel home. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.